So, last week we took a look at how God provided for Paul, how he was in a very, very difficult situation, how he was going to a place that was unlike any place that he'd been before. There was not a typical Jewish community there. There were not men who were hearing the word that he could educate and disciple. And he was in a place filled with Romans, people who were very different than the other Gentiles that he had preached the gospel to. And so he steps into this realm with no state of God, no place to go like he's had before, and he has to trust in God to work things out. And so God provides for him Lydia, who was a seller of purple, who would have the wealth, the property big enough for the people that he had with him to stay, and to give him a home base, to give him a small home church to work with in Macedonia. And so we can see one, and we see that after meeting Lydia and deciding to stay with her, that they begin their ministry there in Philippi. So now in Acts 16, verses 16 through 19, it says, "Now what happened, as we reached a prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination with us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, 'See, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, going to the Lord, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace authorities." This is quite a story. This is quite an amazing thing to see happen. The first note that we're going to make is that all will confess. All will confess. Now, I want you to think about what just happened here. This girl was possessed with a demon. Okay? When we heard a demon, what is a demon? A demon is a fallen angel, isn't it? A demon is a part of the group of angels who decided to follow after Satan to try to overthrow God and to take control of heaven. And they were cast out for their rebellion. A demon is one that hates God, who despises God. And yet, when we read this story, what is this demon-possessed girl doing? Walking around and saying, "We are servants of the Most High God, who lead the way to salvation." It's a pretty interesting thing, isn't it? When people are opposed to people, how do they treat them? You guys read your political pages, maybe? Anybody see on Facebook? How do we talk about people we despise? Not good, right? You run them down. Well, that guy is an idiot. Well, that politician is super crooked. Worst person to ever walk the face of the planet. This Satan's good incarnate body, that new politician is. We speak evil of the people that we don't like. Human beings, that's our nature. We would never, ever talk about somebody that we valued or that we thought was evil in a good way, would we? Never once. We would can't not. Right? We just are not that way. And yet this demon is doing this, and you have to ask yourself, why? The demon did it against God. You fought against this evil. Why on earth would you be willing to stand up and to say that this person is a messenger of God? And the answer to this is that when confronted with the power of God, everyone will
possess. He means we are powerless. You know, in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, we see Jesus being confronted by a demon. It says, "Now, there was a man in our synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And an unclean spirit has convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, 'And what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits that they must obey him.'" You see, demons are not capable of fighting against the power of God. When Jesus is present, when he is there, when his power is present against evil, it is not a competition. They are not powerful enough to resist the truth, no matter how much they want to. Jesus Christ, God, is the ultimate power in our world. And it doesn't even matter how many demons come into his presence. When you look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, it says, "When they came out to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there came out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had it dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even the chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. He was able to retain them, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and killing himself with stones. And he saw Jesus from afar, and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' And he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is your name?' He answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly, he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." It's not a competition. One of the biggest tools that Satan tries to use against us as human beings is to convince us that this is the way that things are working. There's a game going on. And good and evil. It's a high score. Coming down to the last seconds. And God is lining up to make his goal. And he's just hoping that if he puts the right kick on that soccer ball, he can get it right in the corner, and that he might just find a way to beat him. Satan wants you to believe that. You know why he wants you to believe that? Because he wants you to question God's power. He wants you to question whether Jesus truly is the Son of God, whether he truly is powerful enough to take away your sin, whether he truly is the conqueror of death. But here's the thing, guys. It's not that kind of game. It's not a close game. It's a blowout. The game is over. It's like watching a pro team play the TV soccer team in your high school. It was a blowout. The game was over. Jesus had won. Jesus had conquered. And these demons know that you have no choice but to confess that Jesus is Lord. And to recognize that they have no power anymore. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 28, we see why these spirits are under control. It says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them,
every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. How did Jesus do it? How did he cast out the demons? Through the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that dwells in us. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and our baptized, so we receive the forgiveness of your sins and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is through that Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul, when he preached, confronted his demon, and the demon had no power. Why? Because Paul's a great preacher? It's because of the Holy Spirit who dwells in him. See, when God is with you, there is nothing that can conquer you. When you walk with the Lord, when you walk in the Lord, there is nothing that can come in the way of what God is doing in your heart and doing in your life. You see, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and the power of our Savior. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 23, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age that is to come, and he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all." See, whether or not, whether you're with God or against God, there is no denying that God is God. And there's no denying his power. Listen, when we talk about power, it's the spiritual power of our own. We are below the angels, right? David said he made us a little lower than the angels. What is man that you would consider him? He made us a little lower than these demons had elevated power. So us, in our own power, we're not at that level. And these demons, what do they have to do? They have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the only way to salvation. All will confess. But our second point is that not all will receive. Not all will receive. You know, when you look at the masters of these slave girls, I would like to hope that if I was in the same position and I had bought this slave girl and she starts making me lots of money because she can tell the future. Blow my mind. How many things that are going to happen, and then they start happening around me, and I start thinking to myself, hey, this is pretty good. I'm making some good money here. This is going well. And then somebody comes and says, you need to get out of her. And it's magically gone. You know, I'd like to believe in my heart that I start looking and going, well, what do you have? What do you have? Because whatever you have took this thing that seemed awe-inspiring to me and just completely took it away. Your Simon, when he saw, from the trouble, when he saw the works of God compared to his sorcery, he said, I need that. He recognized that there was something bigger and he went for it because he realized that there was something better. Yes, when you look at the masters of this slave girl, what is their response? They're angry. They're upset. They lost their profit. They were making money. Now they're not making money. They became
irritated and frustrated and full of grief. And like many other people today, they only focus on what they could see, what they could personally experience. You know, when you look at the world around you, there's a lot of things that we can't explain. Science tries on a regular basis to tell you exactly how the world is ordered, exactly how everything's coming to play, exactly how everything is structured. But here's a simple proof of the matter. Science can't tell you why somebody with cancer, who's about to die on their deathbed, magically gets well. Well, this happened. You can't explain that to me. Science cannot explain to you how somebody who has been a cruel, bitter, angry person all of their life suddenly changes to become loving, to become the kind of person who is giving and serving for the rest of their life. Science can't explain that because most people believe that you are who you are and you will always be who you are. You may change patterns here and there, but the fact is, you are who you are, and you are not going to change that. And yet, we see it, don't we? We see it for people in the church. We see it throughout our lives, how Christ can impact lives in ways that we can't comprehend. But it's easier to look at the physical, isn't it? It's easier to look at what I can touch. I know you have the power to make me money, and I know now she doesn't have the power to make me money. So you're my problem. I know that if I believe that there's a God and there's accountability, I have to change my life. I have to do things differently. I can't be completely focused on me anymore. I have to care about other people. I don't have to go to God. That's the science. In order to honor God. And we have to learn to ask forgiveness for the people that have hurt. And we have to change. And for many people, that realization, that recognition is too much. More than they want to deal with. See, the reality is, people look at these things and they come with an attitude and think, well, yeah, it's not super clear who God is. So I'm just going to do things my way until God makes it super clear. And yet people experience things like this in their lives. They see somebody healed. They see somebody's life change. And they go, yeah, but I want more. You know, the fact of the matter is, God has placed eternity on the hearts of men. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. All of us have to, if we're honest with ourselves, recognize that there are things we don't understand. That there are things that are bigger than ourselves. Whether we are ready to fully accept that God is Jesus Christ as Lord, there is nobody on this planet that can be honest with themselves and say that there are things that happen around them that they can explain, that are explainable, other than the fact that there is a God who's in control. That's just the truth. And God said this in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. If we want to find God, we will find God. It's just that simple. If we want to find God, we will find God. He's not hiding. And our final point is that not receiving God means becoming an enemy of God. You see, when these masters did what they did, okay, when they chose to have Paul and Silas thrown in prison, whether they meant to or not, they became God's enemies.
people do that all the time. Do you think these guys really thought they were becoming enemies of God when they did this? Probably not. Right? They probably were just thinking, hey, these guys cost me money, so I want recompense. I want something back for the cost of what has happened. And so when I look at this and I realize the situation, it makes me think, how many people are like that in our world today? They become enemies of God without meaning to. They decide that they know better than that, that they can pick and choose what is true and what is not true. They decide that their choices for their life are better for their life than God's choices. And so they have this mindset of, I can have what God wants me to have, but I can do my own thing as well. And Jesus made it clear in Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, it comes down to this. We are all faced with a choice. We will all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of us will, some do. The choice that we have is here and now, what are we going to choose to do about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord? Because if we choose to accept him as Jesus did, if we choose to give our life to him, if we choose to die to ourselves and be baptized, then we can have certainty of eternal life with him. But if we choose not to accept that, then we have to choose the consequences of that as well. That we become enemies of God. Enemies don't get into the kingdom. The doors are barred. So that's the choice that we're left with today. Who are we going to be? We're going to be people that choose God or choose to become his enemies. Because that's it. Those are the only choices. Today, Michelle has made the choice to be baptized. And we're going to honor that. But these waters are not just for her. They are for all who need to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are for all who know that Jesus Christ is Lord and are ready to say, I'm going to make a choice not to be his enemy. I don't want to fight God anymore. I don't want to fight him. I don't want him to be on me. I want him to take control of my life. I want him to change me from the inside out. I want him to make me a new creation. But it is a choice. You don't get a choice about whether you confess and you will. But you do get a choice about whether you will serve him. We're going to go ahead and we're going to sing this song after our prayer. If you have needs, if you would like to be baptized today as well, if you need prayer for any reason, if there's anything that you need after the prayer while we're singing, I'll ask you, you can come forward, you can talk to me, and we'll pray together. If you go ahead and stand, we'll have a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for your word. Lord, there are so many people in this world who don't comprehend, who don't understand that you are Lord. Even the demons must confess it. Even your enemies must confess it, and they will confess it. Lord, I pray that the people who are with us here today have all made the choice to be your friend. That everyone here has made the commitment to live as your children. Lord, there's so many people who are lost and hiding and they don't even realize it. They don't understand what they're doing. Lord, I just ask that you'll touch their hearts. And if there's any way that we can be vessels of light to help them, Lord, make that a possibility. It will open those doors for us to reach them for you. So that none have to be your enemy. Lord, I pray that we honor you, that we love you. Lord, I thank you that even in the times when people become enemies, that you make good out of it. And we
anything that was physically studying this story. Well, as you ask for a blessing, thank you for Michelle's decision to put you on in baptism today. And I just want to ask you, Lord, to just bless her and to help us as a congregation to encourage her and help her to grow in you. Pray for her from Jesus Christ and pray in her. Amen. Thank you.